2025, the Court Commission of the Court of Houston with authority, meeting at 9:15 a.m. Called meeting to order. First order of business is a remark from the commissioner, from the chairman of the commissioner. So let me just start out by talking about the meeting today. It's a big meeting with a lot on the agenda. In our commission packet today, there's information about our goods movement emission inventory report, or GMEI. Then every few years to look at our port-related air emissions. Good news is our initiatives are reducing emissions, like which is a direct result of our buying hybrid equipment. Our initiatives are definitely working. For example, we added 280 pieces of cargo handling equipment since 2019. Our overall NOx and PM emissions are down 7% and 4% respectively since that time. We expanded our business to reduce our emissions. Emissions of criteria pollutants, which are common air pollutants identified under the Clean Act, are 2 to 7% lower in 23 than they were in 2019. And even though our total tonnage has increased by 16%, our container volumes grew 28% with the last study. The related greenhouse gas emissions, which is mostly carbon dioxide, only increased 10%, so less than half of what the impact from the container volume increase. This means that generally our efforts to reduce emissions are working, or the emissions would have increased the same amounts of volumes. There are a number of other highlights on the document that we provided. This is positive and headed in the right direction. The GMEI report is available on our website. Work isn't done yet. We will continue to make sustainability choices where we can. On a related note, several items on the agenda today for the Clean Ports Grant that are also related to the study and reduction of emissions. We'll hear more about that when we get to the strategy division. Some big news, the port-led dredging of Project 11 is officially complete. Complete is also important because the Army Corps of Engineers has accepted it. We're still waiting on AFCONs to be moved, and which may happen on Tuesday, which is weather dependent. The expansion of the channel can't be used until those are moved and the pilots have approved. With this safe two-way navigation is possible in the Houston Ship Channel from Bolivar Reyes to Bolivar's Cut and in the Bayport Ship Channel. This is really important for our region and all our industries that rely on the channel to do business. Because of Project 11, daylight restrictions will be reduced by up to 2.5 hours in each direction. And we all know that time is money, so that really improves the safety and the efficiency of the channel, which we know benefits everyone who does business along the channel. For our public terminals, now larger vessels up to 17,000 TEUs in alignment with the Panama Canal can now call on Bayport. Most importantly, this work helped secure our channel for the future as well as the jobs that rely on it. As they say, no channel, no port, no jobs. The channel is vital, and I'm proud of the work our team has done and is doing to keep the channel ready to meet the needs in our region. I want to commend the Port Houston team, elected officials, and our industry partners who helped prioritize this project, the Army Corps of Engineers. It was definitely a partnership with the community, and sometimes that doesn't happen very easily. And in the case of the port, once we got, sort of people at the table, it actually happened very efficiently and very, very well. And I appreciate all the partners in that. And it is just an historic event, and I'm just the entire team should be incredibly proud of this past Friday, Project 11 team received an outstanding civil engineering award of achievement from the Texas chapter, American Society of Civil Engineers, their highest awards. Congratulations to you. So we are going to have some public comment in a minute. We have several people who have concerns about our contract negotiations with Maersk. Maersk is a global international partner, and as such, we are going through a thoughtful review of the terms before we decide a way forward. We will have that discussion here in a minute. So I just want to thank the team, Port Houston team, the ILA, Pilot, Coast Guard, the Army Corps of Engineers, our seafarers folks, and everyone who works in the docks of the public terminals and the private terminals for a job well done on getting Project 11 done and getting it through the summer and continue to move cargo through the port. So thank you for all your hard work and the team of Port Houston that supports everyone every single day. So thank you for all that. With that, commissioners, floor is open. I'm good. All right, move ahead. We have a long meeting. Okay, great. Let's then move to the next item, which is approval of the minutes of July 22nd. So motion.
Motion.
So moved.
Second.
Do I want to say aye?
Aye.
Okay. Charlie, you're up.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Well, and good morning to everybody. Lots going on. Work to keep my remarks fairly brief as the team has a lot of very, very positive info to share. But a few things to set the stage. First, last week, we gave a speech at the Transportation Advisory Group, or TAG. Two of our commissioners were able to attend. Roughly 600 people involved in roadway developments in our region. And it was a very important speech about prioritizing road improvements for cargo fluidity. Road congestion is a very real issue. It's imperative that we collectively push together to prioritize the roads for our region, like highways 146 and 225. And as the chairman commented, freight equals jobs equals our community. So we're also planning changes to our entry gates at the container terminals. Right now, they're operating efficiently, but we do need to put the pieces in place to continue operating efficiently with the growth that we're projecting over the next 8 years. We are evaluating expanding our gate hours, possibly adding the 5 a.m. hour to the entry time as early as next year. We also need to implement a more robust truck reservation system to help us align truck visit volumes with available roadway capacity. This is being done at other U.S. ports, and it's now time to implement a similar system here in Houston, taking the lessons learned from all the other entries to that market. The software for this truck reservation system is on the agenda today for approval. I believe it's the first item under operations. Ryan will provide more details, or Mike, whoever is doing the operations, in their remarks. Speaking of our terminals, we have continued to fare very well during the time of uncertainty that is on with the geopolitical issues. We had an incredible July. Our July tonnage was up 24% month over month. Container TEUs were up 21% in one month, as shippers worked at the cargo in before the tariff deadline came into play that were then later extended. Incredible July. Because of that, all the experts predicted a significant downturn and a potential loss of cargo in August. But again, Houston fared very well. We were actually up 1% in container volume through the month of August, and total tonnage was up 3%. You combine the two of them together, it's still one hell of a period there. Just showing the robust nature of our economy and the value that we provide to the supply chain. Year-to-date through August, total container volume year-to-date is up 5%. And again, the ops team will report more on that. Now, I want to use right away time to introduce some very new important members to the Port Houston team. First, we have Chief Officer, Operating Officer Eric Casey. Eric, please stand. Eric is going to be overseeing. He started yesterday. He already drinking from the fire hose. He will be overseeing the Channel Infrastructure Group, the Port Infrastructure Group, the Commercial Group, Port Maintenance, and the Port Operation Group. Eric brings more than 25 years of experience driving operational excellence across ports, logistics, and global organizations. He previously served as CEO of the Port of Wilmington, Delaware, where he delivered a financial turnarounds, negotiated long-term contracts, and expanded the port's cargo portfolio. Thanks, Eric. Next, we have Parker Harrison. She is our incoming Chief Legal Officer. Upon Eric's retirement, in the next end of the year, January, she will resume that role overseeing legal and records management. She has nearly 25 years experience in maritime law, enterprise risk management, and corporate governance. Before joining Port Houston, Harrison held progressive leadership roles at Crowley Maritime, culminating at the Chief Legal and Risk Officer, as well as the Corporate Secretary. The two of these members are joining the executive leadership team of the port. Their extensive experience and proven leadership in the maritime and logistics industries will further strengthen our executive team and support the continued growth and success of the port. Now, we also have several other key positions to mention. We've been very busy developing team, and some of the other director level positions that I'd like to introduce is first, Jawan. Please, there he is. Please stand. He's our new Managing Director, Port Infrastructure. Jawan brings business and technical leadership from for 20 years at Williams Companies. He will help transform how we do infrastructure now and into the future. He holds an MBA from University of Houston, degrees in math and mechanical engineering from Morehouse and Georgia Tech, and is a licensed professional engineer. Welcome to the team.
Thank you.
We also have a new Director of Human Resources, Hugh Tillman. There's Hugh. An experienced HR professional, having worked in places like HP and Memorial Hermann, for example, very well-versed in workforce planning, recruiting, succession planning, compensation, and performance management, and carrying on a tradition of my predecessor, Roger Gunther, he is also an Aggie. And last but not least, in any ways, is really an important ad. We're doubling down on roads. Roads are a challenge. Roads have become congestion. We have to work on roadway development to continue the movement of freight. So we have hired a new Seaport Connectivity Director, Callie Barnes. There she is. Thanks, Callie. She's an experienced veteran with TxDOT, with HGAC, in project development and monitoring program and programming surface transportation projects. She will be supporting our organization and our region with advocacy and planning for critical freight connectivity projects. Welcome to the team. So a lot going on for rebuilding the team. We've had lots of retirements and other things. And I can proudly say we're much stronger today than we were last week. Thank you all for joining a great team, and it's going to be fun.
If there's any questions for staff or for Charlene,
they'll have great hires.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Good job.
Yeah. Sure.
Great. Okay. Next item is appearances. So let's start with Eric. Remind our.
Well, we first have three on the agenda, and then we have other people who've signed up. So you want to start with on the agenda?
Sure. Let's go ahead.
Thanks. John Sullivan, President of Calhoun.
Good morning, everybody. My name is John Sullivan. I'm president of Calhoun Marine. We gave a gift to the Port of Houston. It is a scale model of the General Arnold. And the General Arnold was the dredge that just finished up the last section of Project 11 for the Port of Houston. So really significant, obviously, for the Port of Houston, significant for Calhoun Marine. I've got Ari Vondenadel and Frank Bellissimo here as well. Really was quite an achievement, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, Lori, Leah, Amanda, Jose, on that project, and also the AECOM and GBA on the engineering side. But quite an accomplishment for the port to finish this up, and we felt like it was appropriate to do a scale model of a cutter suction dredge because Project 11, hopefully Project 12, they all happen with dredges. And it's amazing to us how many people, even in the maritime industry, really don't know how a cutter suction dredge works. But when you see a model like that, which is outside, it kind of puts it all into perspective. So the other thing that I wanted to mention, really for you commissioners more than anything, is what y'all vote on really matters. So the General Arnold is the largest Tier 4, most environmentally clean dredge in the country. It's the largest. We really built it for projects like this. And so the commitment that the staff has had to the environment, all the material that we use was all beneficially used. I mean, the biggest problem we had out there on the placement area was keeping the birds off of it. So, you know, dredging, I think a lot of times people think, oh, industry, industry, industry. But it's really neat for us in the industry to actually do something for the environment at the same time. So when you look at that dredge, just know that it is the largest in the country, the most environmentally friendly in the country. And all of that was required by the staff here. And honestly, it was worth the money. A hell of a deal. Charlie, we talked about that many times. That was quite an economic boon for the port. The port did a great job with that. And then also, I think, so that's the Port of Houston, the last Project 11 section. We have started with the General Bradley. That's one of our other dredges. That's also a Tier 4. It is widening Barber's Cut now as we speak. So pretty soon, you will have a lot of full use of a very wide and productive channel. So we appreciate being a part of it, the big part for Gallen Marine, and that's why we wanted to give that gift. So, you know, when after the meeting, I would encourage everybody to take a look at it. It's really neat. For us dredge geeks, it's really cool. For you maritime folks, you might be interested to see how they work. So thank you all for allowing us to give it to you, and thanks for the work.
We got it up with beer.
Yes.
It's in your building, right?
Yeah. You understand.
Proudly displayed.
Yes, perfect. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next, we have the boat sailing coordinator and Jennifer Bunch, both from the Girl Scouts of San Francisco Council.
Yeah. Good morning. We're so excited to be here. We are recipients of a grant from the Port of Houston. I'm the Outdoor Experience Director for the Girl Scouts of San Jacinto, and MEPO is one of our my volunteer partners. You don't understand Girl Scouts. We do a lot with partnerships. We are not just funding everything ourselves, so we can't run organizations like the Mariners. Our Mariner program, I'll let MEPO talk to you a little bit about it. It's one of our special interest groups. It's for older girls, kind of when they age out of troops. We want to keep them engaged, and our sailors with maritime, I mean, with the Mariners, is one of those groups. I'll let you guys speak to that one.
Hi, I'm Mae Poho, and I am a volunteer at Girl Scouts for the sailing program. We currently have 43 active girls and growing. Of course, that changes every year as girls age out and graduate. But a lot of our girls also graduate and go into maritime. We have one graduate who's currently at the Maine Mariner Academy. We had several go into Coast Guard, Navy, and various other maritime activities just because they came out to Toddville Road and went sailing for weekends at a time. So we currently have 23 sunfish, 8 rockets, and those are the smaller boats that our girls sail on. And as they progress through the program, they can start to learn to sail on our sloop and hopefully eventually go into the big boat area if we're able to get back on that. But the program is just fantastic. I've been a volunteer for over 7 years now. My oldest daughter graduated. She's a sophomore now. And my youngest just started last summer, and so she's going through the program currently. But it's a fantastic program, and you probably might see us along in Seabrook with the little sunfishes sailing around, and it's just a lot of fun. And a lot of the volunteers who come and support the program come and do this all on their free time. So thank you very much for helping us support the program.
The grant that we received will help us to shore up some of our base and at our dock area. So we're really, really grateful for the gift. Thank you for having us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Darius Thomas from the Anderson Center.
Great day, everyone. Hello, my name is Darius Thomas, and I am Development Associate at the Anderson Center for the Arts. And on behalf of our staff and our community, we want to say thank you for your grant support for our center. What your support does is it helps us to expand art access in East Harris County so that families don't have to travel all the way downtown for world culture experiences. So I brought with me today some people from our community and our staff, and I'm happy to introduce behind me I have Ms. Joanna Lewis and I have Ms. Renee Gardner. But today I brought to speak Ms. Deja Nichols-Trench and Ms. Christina Zadapak.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Deja Thomas, actually. My maiden name. I just a little bit about myself. I'm currently studying my master's in social work at Howard University with a focus in community administration and policy. And I come to you as a young professional, as a wife and a mom-to-be, and a person who is truly passionate about community, passionate about change. And that's one word that I've heard from my chairman already this morning several times, community. Community is family. Community is opportunity. Community is education. It's creativity. And many other things it encompasses. And so with the Anderson Center, it really does just create a space for people to come and create. So one of my favorite memories at the Anderson Center so far is there was a block party. And I was so blessed just seeing some of the different exhibits and films and things that were shown that day. Specifically, the Girl Scouts were there, and they had an opportunity to design clothes for a Barbie, right? So they had needle, thread, all these different fabrics. And it was so beautiful to see them look at something that they might have never had access to or even had in the same space and look at it startled and maybe confused, but create something. And that was so powerful, creating and knowing that, hey, I can do this. I can put my mind to something. I can do it. And so I was just blessed seeing that. And anything about the Anderson Center, I want to be a part of because, again, I saw families. I saw children creating, learning, and I, as a young professional, as a person who desires to advocate for my community, I learned, and that's great. I appreciate that. So we appreciate your gift because these are the type of opportunities that we get to experience and see in our community. So thank you.
Thank you.
One part follow-up, Jaja. Thank you. I'm Christine Zedebek. I'm the Community Engagement and Operations Manager at the Anderson Center. On behalf of ACA, I'd like to extend our sincere gratitude for the Port of Houston for your generous gift and the grant. Your support actually strengthens our mission to deliver high-quality arts education and programming that benefits our entire community, and particularly the unincorporated parts of Eastern County. The Anderson Center plays a vital role in a region's cultural and economic health. Each year, approximately $80 million in leisure spending leaves our community, going into other areas to experience arts and culture. By providing local world-class arts experiences, we help keep those dollars regenerating in our communities here. I'm not only an associate of the Anderson Center, but I'm also a lifelong Port of Houston community member. I've lived in this area for over, we'll just say over 40 years. Leave it at that. This is why the partnership really means so much to me as a community member, is seeing the port generation be actually directly impacting where I live and the people that I'm associated with in my community. And together, that just helps us to ensure that we remain both a cornerstone of the community as well as a powerful driver for our region's future. Thank you guys
so
much.
Thank you. I'll come to you.
Okay, and now we have a number of people who have signed up to appear who are not on the agenda. Our first person is Ms. Kiba St. Paul.
Hello, my name is Kiba St. Paul, and I'm just a community member. I live in a port of Houston community, 8 minutes away from here. And I just had some concerns. You spoke about Project 11. Congratulations on getting that approved. It's been approved, is that correct? Or has it been completed?
Part of it's completed and it has been approved.
So part of it is completed and it has been approved. And you said that it was important to get the community support in order for that to be approved. And my question is just, what does community support mean to you?
We're not under the rules of the state. We're not permitted to engage with commenters. So
Okay.
All of your time later. Yes.
Okay, so I'm just here as a community member, like I said, and I'm here just to request transparency and communication about Project 11 and other work taking place at the port. We understand that federal funds have been approved, so we'd like to know when will the construction project, like, when will it begin? I guess it's already started, but, like, the second phase or the next phases of it, what the phases are, like, we don't, the community doesn't know, like, really anything about this project, so we would like to know how the dredge material will be handled, specifically where it's going to be stored, and if it's being tested. What's being dredged? Is it being tested? So residents can have clear information about any chemicals or contaminants it may contain. And beyond Project 11, we also want to be informed about any new expansion or projects at the port, whether that includes purchasing property in our communities, expanding operations, or changes that will directly impact surrounding neighborhoods. So most importantly, we're asking for open and consistent communication. Every neighborhood around the port holds monthly civic club and super neighborhood meetings, and we're formally requesting that a representative from the Port of Houston attend these meetings to give residents updates and answer questions directly. So in short, the community supports progress, but we expect transparency. We're simply asking for honesty about timelines, environmental impacts, and development plans, as well as ongoing dialogue with the people who live closest to the port. Thank you for your time and your commitment to listening to the voices of the community.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments. Just to clarify what Eric said, was in accordance with Texas state law and open meetings requirements, the board cannot engage in a topic that is not on the agenda specifically. So that's why this is not a good place for a dialogue between speakers and the board because of state law. And so we are very, very focused on making sure that we are lawful and that we do not violate Open Meetings Act, so we don't engage in a dialogue with the folks that are coming to the podium. I will tell you, though, that we do have speakers coming up from our different teams, and they will address some of these things as part of their discussion. But just to clarify, that's why we can't have a dialogue specifically with people.
Let me just add, we'll forward this information to one of our colleagues.
Follow-up.
Yes, yeah. So what we do, if there's somebody has an issue or that they want to talk about, we always take notes, and then the proper person from the port will reach out to them and give them more information. So we hear you, we appreciate it, we listen. And that's what we have to do in accordance with state law. Okay. All right. So, Eric, would you?
Yeah, next is Ms. Rondi Trevino. She's coming on remote.
Yes. Okay.
Hi, good morning. My name is.
Morning.
Okay, good morning. My name is Rondi Trevino. I am the executive director of the Raices Collab Project, a grassroots organization born as a response to the oppressive challenges faced by our state's most vulnerable communities. We focus on building capacity and relieving pressures that will make regular civic engagement possible. And I am happy to hear that, while I am happy to hear that geopolitical issues haven't hit the port yet, I will say that our communities are being hit. We're being hit first, and we are being hit hardest. Unfortunately, it is a reality that most vulnerable communities in Texas are the first line of defense in the most heated geopolitical issues. These communities are very typical in Harris County, places like Channelview, South Houston, and the South Belt area, places where literacy rates are low, people are regularly going hungry, and entire families are falling ill. And communities are losing decades on their lives due to poor health and social burdens. I'm sure you guys have heard of the 250 square foot cancer cluster in your area. And so these are the same types of pressures that we've heard spoken about nationally, except as I've mentioned, because of the political climate in Texas, we the ones who get hit first. We are the ones who get hit hardest. There aren't very many protections left for individual people. So again, one other thing I did appreciate was hearing that the port continues to invest in better environmental choices, and that are very, and that, you know, it's apparent that these are worthy investments. I have to be honest, though, there are major opportunities that are being overlooked, and that is leading with permitting and as well as renewal of contracts with industries that are known to continuously violate clean air laws. For example, when it rains, we know that very often the smell that comes out after rain is not the smell of rain, but it's the smell of hydrogen sulfide. Actually, recently I had a young kid tell me, no, that's the smell of humidity. That broke my heart. So when at a time when industry is growing and expanding, we understand that that is your role, your primary role. But we want to make sure that as a public agency, that you also help to be one line of defense in a very defenseless place, especially because, like I said, these financial benefits that were promised as part of the industrial expansion that is happening are not landing in our communities. Our communities are not getting higher paying jobs. And like I said, they are very much going hungry. And so one thing is, I know that I've heard folks concerned that if we're too tough in negotiations with industry, perhaps they'll leave. But quite frankly, I think that that time has passed. Texas and the Gulf Coast is much too appealing to industry. The expansion needs space. The expansion needs a foothold. And the Port of Houston is the perfect opportunity for them to continue doing that. So then let's act like we have that upper hand, which we do. This is not a time when industry is going to flee somewhere else where they haven't already poured in billions of dollars in infrastructure. So what I ask of you, board commissioners, is just to please be tougher in negotiations and ask for better neighbor policies from these lessees.
Ms. Ronnie, thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Terrence Bankston, from Friends of the Earth. I'm not sure if he's remote or...
Yes, I'm remote. Good morning.
He's online. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, good morning. My name is Terrence Bankston. I am the senior voice and phrase campaigner with Friends of the Earth. Those who are not familiar, it is a national nonprofit here in the United States. My job primarily focuses on electrification and zero emission efforts pertaining to ports, and then communities that we consider near port communities, overburden communities, and some folks are not offended by environmental justice. I wanted to talk about two projects. One, you guys, my understanding, have been given an update about a Clean Ports Report Card project, which is an inaugural, and Houston's port is one of the ports that was assessed in collaboration with another group that I work, coalition I work with, which is the Houston Healthy Ports Coalition. For the past few months, I've been co-moderating the meetings and having an opportunity to engage with many leaders throughout, not just Houston, but the state. The launch of the report card will be set Tuesday, September 30th at 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. What this includes is that organizations, national press, local press will receive a press release, and the report cards will go live that morning. And we also will be taking interviews and hosting local events, hybrid events, where we'll share the assessment or the scores from the report card. And we look forward to our opportunity to also do that independent of the public with the port as well. Lastly, I wanted to just comment and understand maybe there can't be responses, but if I can get information on who to sort of direct these questions to regarding agenda items, I guess that's O and numbers 1 to 4. And so I wanted to talk about just the not so much simple reporting of data, but I wanted to be able to hear from the port commissioners how they intend to address strategic value of the investments that they plan to make with the Clean Ports funding. A few of the speakers talked about transparency and engaging the community. And so my questions really stem around value and accountability. What does that mean? What specific quantifiable actions is the port planning to take based on the results of this inventory? And how do they plan to engage the community in that process? How do they plan to communicate with that community much differently than the community has sort of assessed or criticized before? I want to skip down. I'm skipping through because I know it's limited time. But even under your scope and strategy, given the complexity and impact of scope 3 emissions, how would the port engage tenants, which we know is a struggle and a challenge, to hold tenants, shippers, and supply chains not so much accountable, but to make them truly a partner of the village and actually make them a part of the good neighbor approach that we're encouraging the port to have with portside communities? There was also a question about how is that defined? And that is a question that I have under community impact and engagement. How would the port's actions reduce its emissions to benefit the local Houston community? What do you see as the Houston community? And who did you see? And what do you see as the most impacted communities by the port's operations? Thank you for my time.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll make sure someone reaches out to you with that information. Thank you.
Okay. Next, we have Ms. Tiffany Jin from the Houston Climate Justice Cultural Center.
Good morning. Thank you, commissioners, for allowing us the opportunity to speak here today. My name is Tiffany Jin, and I'm one of the co-founders of the Houston Climate Justice Museum. The war in Gaza is not only a humanitarian crisis, but an environmental catastrophe, poisoning land, air, and water on a scale that will last for generations. It has intensified the global climate crisis, while our own communities here in the U.S. are left to face preventable and compounding man-made disasters. Industries like Valero are refining the jet fuel that is destined for Israeli killing machines. Chevron's Leviathan gas field is powering Israel's economy, which is sustaining the war efforts. And these are the same companies destroying frontline communities along the Gulf Coast and the Ship Channel. Our local climate and environmental justice struggles are not just symbolically connected. They are materially bound up within the same system of extraction that are leading to the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. The Mask Off Mayor's campaign that people will talk about later is a high-profile international movement uniting labor, climate, and pro-Palestinian organizations from North America to North Africa, where thousands have mobilized. From the nearly 800 who shut down Mayor's Copenhagen headquarters to mass dock workers' demonstrations in Morocco and Spain, this movement has already had tremendous impact. In June 2025, Maersk announced it would cut ties with settlement-linked companies, and earlier this month, Spain enacted a royal decree law imposing a total arms embargo on Israel. We are at a major inflection point in this war, and you have the ability to decide whether Houston will be another link in a global supply chain that enables the killing and genocide of the Palestinian people, or whether it will follow Spain's example and stand for international law, human rights, and our shared humanity. We are calling for an independent investigation of Maersk's involvement in transporting military components that could be used in war crimes, and we demand that no new agreement should be made until one is conducted. Commissioners, as the governing body of a taxpayer-funded institution, you are obligated to deliberate openly and to act in the public interest, and we are calling on you to not delegate that authority to the CEO. By keeping this MTSA contract process with Maersk as transparent as possible and retaining authority within the commission, you can demonstrate that Houston values life, accountability, and the protection of communities both here and abroad.
Thank you.
Speaker is Mr. Alex McDonald from the Texas Coalition of Human Rights.
Uh, Good morning, commissioners. My name is Alex McDonald, and I'm with the Texas Coalition for Human Rights. I'm here also to speak about the agenda item relating to the Maersk Marine Terminal Services agreement. Maersk, as was mentioned, transports military equipment that is used by the State of Israel against the Palestinian people. Just last week, the United Nations Independent International Commission of Inquiry reported that Israel has committed genocide against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And it's not just the UN Commission that has come to that conclusion. On September 1st, the International Association of Genocide Scholars stated that Israel's conduct meets the legal definition of genocide. Maersk transports parts for the F-35, including to Israel. F-35s have been used to drop the 2,000-pound bombs, which have leveled schools, hospitals, churches, and mosques, and entire neighborhoods, killing mostly women and children. The medical journal The Lancet estimated in July of last year that 186,000 people have been killed at that time in Gaza, and the bombing has just recently increased. Americans are providing the F-35s that are being used to commit war crimes. If we allow parts for those aircraft to go to Israel, we are actively involved in genocide. You all have a unique opportunity to stop Houstonians' direct involvement in these war crimes. My father was a Marine Corps drill instructor, and I was raised to be proud of my country. I'm an Eagle Scout and have three Eagle Scout sons, and the last thing I want is for my country to be complicit in genocide, or even worse, to participate and support a genocide. That will be a black mark on our nation for generations. I therefore ask you to not allow the signing of any new agreement or extension with Maersk as long as they are transporting military equipment to Israel, and conduct a full investigation into the Maersk shipments of military cargo through our port of Houston. I ask the board to take immediate action to ensure the Port of Houston is not violating international law by requiring humanitarian law compliance clauses in the port contracts and suspending agreements where there is evidence of shipments tied to war crimes. I pray that you will be remembered as those who helped end the genocide rather than among those who made it possible. Thank you.
Next, we have Ms. Sarah Montgomery from Palestine Solidarity.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Montgomery with Palestine Solidarity Texas. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm here to speak about an international crisis with a direct and local connection, the role that the U.S. ports, including our own port of Houston, may be playing in the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Earlier this month, the United Nations released a report stating that Israel is committing acts that meet the legal definition of genocide under international law. These are not just headlines. They carry serious legal and moral implications, especially for public institutions like the Port of Houston. The UN Commission explicitly states that member countries like the U.S. should cease the transfer of arms and other equipment to Israel connected to the genocide, which recent reports estimate a death toll of 680,000 Palestinians in Gaza, 380,000 being children under the age of 5. In July, the UN named 45 companies complicit in the genocide. Maersk is one of them. Without Maersk shipments of F-35 fighter jet parts, weapons components, and other equipment, Israel would not be able to commit these war crimes in Gaza. And these Maersk shipments are coming through the port of Houston. Just last week, on September 15th, a shipment of F-35 fighter jet wings left the port of Houston for Haifa, where they will be used to bomb hospitals, schools, refugee camps, and homes in Gaza. This UN report emphasizes that companies like Maersk, complicit in international crimes, will be held accountable under international law. We're here today because you have the opportunity to stop these shipments, and you have the power to hold Maersk accountable. You also have a responsibility to ensure that the Port of Houston is not breaking international law. We are asking this commission not to vote to delegate authority to CEO Charlie Jenkins to extend or enter into a new contract with Maersk, and to postpone the signing of any new marine terminal service agreement with Maersk until a full investigation is conducted into the company's shipments of military cargo through the Port of Houston. As one of the speakers mentioned earlier, what you vote on matters. We really ask the board to take immediate action to assure that the Port of Houston is not violating any international laws. Thank you for your time and your work overseeing our port.
Thank you. Thank you.
Person who's finding out is a gentleman named Alex. I didn't say the last name. Alex, did you mute me?
Yes, Kerry. Sorry about that.
Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having us again. My name is Alex. I'm an organizer with the Palestinian Youth Movement. I'm also a Christian Palestinian whose family was ethnically cleansed in 1948. And I'm here today to ask the Port Commission to delay the vote to delegate CEO Charlie Jenkins the authority to extend or enter a new maritime terminal service agreement with Maersk Line. Over the past month, Israel has waged a relentless attack on Gaza City, bombing 800 homes per week and averaging 120 airstrikes daily. Israel would not be able to carry out these nonstop bombings without the support of corporations like Maersk. Maersk ships critical weapons components and military cargo for Israel, including parts for their F-35 fighter jets, which are currently being used to destroy Palestine's largest city and one of the oldest cities in the world. Maersk, in May, the Palestinian Youth Movement published an extensive report on Maersk shipments for the F-35 fighter jet program. Houston represented about 40% of the shipments included in this report, more than any other city. Since 2020, 432 shipments contributing to Israel's F-35 fighter jet program have passed through the port of Houston. More recently, on September 15th, a shipment of F-35 fighter jet wings left the port of Houston for Haifa, where they will be used by Israel to continue the genocide on Gaza. Without the partnership between the port of Houston and Maersk, the transportation of this military cargo would be impossible. The United Nations Commission has officially declared that Israel is committing genocide on Gaza, which makes these shipments to Israel a crime under international law. We have brought copies of the report that we would love to share with the Port Commission, and maybe I can just leave this on the table once we are done,
or before we are done.
Now, thank you. But the point is that the people of Houston do not want our port to be used against crimes against humanity. So we urge the board to recognize the opportunity they have to end Houston's complicity and genocide and stop these shipments of F-35 parts. Again, I am asking the commission to reconsider its vote to delegate authority to CEO Charlie Jenkins to enter into a new or renewed agreement with Maersk Line AS. And we ask the board to postpone the signing of any new maritime terminal service agreement with Maersk Line AS until a full investigation is conducted into Maersk shipments. And finally, we ask the board to take immediate action to ensure the Port of Houston is not violating international law. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay. And then last person to sign up is Lucia Gutierrez. I think she is
here.
Oh, there. Oh, there we are. Hello.
Thank you so much for letting me speak today. I'm going to look for my comments. Okay. My name is Leticia Gutierrez, and I'm with the Air Alliance Houston, who is a part of the Healthy Ports Community Coalition. Sorry, I have a little bit of asthma this morning. We'd like to speak briefly on item G1, which involves the $600,000 contract for maintenance dredging at the Barber's Cut. As an organization deeply concerned with air quality and our public health and our community health, we understand the importance of maintaining the port operations, but we also believe that how the work gets done matters just as much as the work itself. We have two questions. First, is this contract being carried out solely by the Port of Houston Authority, or is it another agency such as the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers involved in the funding executing of this work? And second and most importantly, assuming that this is port-led, can the port commit to using clean dredging equipment? Back in 2021, we sang y'all's praises during Project 11 when the port made some very important commitments to environmental responsibility using two clean dredge vessels. One is electric and one is powered by the Tier 4-1 engine, which is the clean diesel technology that's available right now. That was a commendable move and that set a strong precedent. So we understand that dredging equipment can be significant. We know that dredging equipment is a significant source of its diesel emissions, which directly impact nearby communities like my own, already burdened with industrial pollution. Clean equipment not only reduces harmful emissions, but it also allows the port's continued balancing economic growth with environmental responsibility. We urge you to reaffirm the 2021 commitment and ensure that clean technology is a baseline standard for all dredging operations moving forward. Commissioner, I heard you say that time is money. Well, our community's health and our children's health has absolutely no price. So thank you for allowing me to speak today and hope you consider my comments today. Thank you.
Thank you for speakers being here today. And as I said earlier, if you listen, we will make sure that information is passed on that is not on the agenda. And if it is on the agenda, then I know that some of the folks that are coming up to speak on those agenda items will give us more information on them, including the nature of the dredges that were just discussed. So with that, we'll move on to our executive part. And executive, Nate Carrick. Lenny is going to take us through that. Eric?
Yes.
Over to you.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners, guests. I'm Kerry Kenny, and I serve as Chief Government and Public Relations Officer for Port Houston. I am a product of Port Houston, grew up less than 2 miles from here. Proud Galena Park Yellow Jacket. In my role, community relations report to my division. And I'm proud to share that our team attends the Pleasantville Super Neighborhood meetings almost every month. And they actually have graciously let us present at their meeting several times over the past few months as part of our community plan. We also have a representative in our PCCAC group. We will continue to engage that community and make sure that people feel informed and connected to the port and the great work that we're doing. I'm very much looking forward to our team sharing the community plan through which we have engaged over 10,000 community members. Over the last few months, I think our team has had more meals with our community than they have had at home with their families. But it will be worth it when we see the amazing outcomes of our programs. Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, we bring before you today approval of the American Association of Port Authorities, our AAPA membership. As you may recall, for the past 6 years, we have not been members of AAPA. However, our advocacy team strongly recommends rejoining the association. Over the past few years, AAPA has rebuilt with completely new leadership and staff and has proven very effective in leading the industry on Capitol Hill in legislation and support. Four other ports will pay the same amount in dues as Port Houston, Virginia, Los Angeles, Long Beach, and Georgia. In addition to advocacy, AAPA has several committees to further the industry cover and focus areas like engineering, construction, maintenance, finance, administration, harbors and navigation, information technology, law review, economic development, cybersecurity, and public relations. We engage with them in first quarter of 2025 for a six-month trial, which has been successful in putting the wider coalition of American ports behind our advocacy efforts. With these improvements and the successful six-month trial earlier this year, We ask the commission to approve the annual membership for AAPA for $131,887. Thank you.
Is there a motion for items one and two? Yep, two, of course, is the gift of the General Arnold from Allen Marine, up there on the building. So, we have any questions or comments? Not all bears say aye.
Thank you,
Derek.
Thank you.
Now, improvement, Lori, you're up.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are y'all today?
Good.
Well, the channel team has been busy this past few months, and I'm proud to report that in addition to the Segment 1C port lead dredging completion by Callan Marine, we're also narrowing down on the final few weeks of the Segment 1B, which is Redfish to Bayport, completion of the beneficial use feature. That final walkthrough is tomorrow in conjunction with the Army Corps of Engineers. So, again, another check in the box, looking forward to getting that one done as well. The project partnership agreement, Amendment 1, is also officially complete as of September 4th. As a reminder, that assumption of maintenance approval, although we received from ASA in May of earlier this year, took a while to get the amendment approved, and now we are formally contractually bound that we are no longer responsible for the 50 years of operation maintenance costs. So,
remind us of the amount that we have.
$380 million.
$380 million. Thank you very much.
So
we don't have to pay, the federal government is assuming.
Yeah. Very exciting to also get that one down. The federal Barber's Cut draft restriction that had been in place since mid-December was formally rescinded by the Houston Pilots on September 12th. Also, took a bit too long, but the Corps, through two separate contracts, through Great Lakes Dredging Dock and the Callan Marine, completed the maintenance dredging between August 8th and September 11th, and then the pilots graciously rescinded that draft restriction on September 12th. So this month, we have 14 items, G1 through G14, for your consideration. I think I would like to highlight the first two, focused around O&M dredging, G1 and G2. G1 is consideration of staff ranking of vendors and award of a construction contract to Curtin Maritime, which it is a Tier 4 dredge, so the cleanest dredge available, in the amount of $6 million to maintenance dredge the Port Authority berth of Bayport, Barber's Cut, and Sam Houston, totaling about $527,000. Two competitive field proposals were received, and the top-ranked proposer, Curtin, came within the staff budget. The Corps recently awarded the same contractor a Vicinity O&M maintenance contract. Therefore, the MOB and DMOB fees are lower than normal. Similarly, item G2 includes the same different staff ranking of the vendors and award of this contract to Curtin Maritime, also Tier 4 dredge in this case, in the amount of $457,000 for new work dredging to be completed by the end of this year. Both contracts, in fact, will be completed by the end of the year of CARE Terminal Dock 2. CARE Terminal Dock 2 is being deepened and expanded to accommodate larger vessels, alleviate safety concerns of the berthing simultaneously with the CARE Terminal docks, and generate more vessel traffic in the ship's terminal. So pending any questions, I respectfully ask for your approval of the 14 items, G1 through G14.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Second.
Okay, just to be clear, so the answer to the question of the status of the dredges in number one and number two, they are Tier 4 dredges.
Yes.
Are the cleanest dredges that we can get, and our commitment continues to try to use the most highly advanced and cleanest dredges.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I have a
question. On item one, Lori, we're obviously spending money to dredge the Sam Houston Turbo berthing area. Do we have similar shoaling issues, do you know, or at the battleship site for that, where they, the temporary berth there? Do you know of it?
I have not heard any shoaling restrictions in that area.
We've never dredged that area.
Yeah. Okay. Don't talk to Maria.
Okay. I would assume that we'll kind of we probably need to take into account when we're deciding on the future sites for the Sam Houston areas that we don't have to redredge over and over. It seems like it would be a cost saving with us if we don't have to dredge there.
Great point. We strongly agree and it didn't have part of the calculations.
And then item five, where we're reclaiming Atkins Company for additional Project 11 projects. I'm assuming we're going to be reimbursed for that expenditure out of the credits and the fees for the next phases of the project.
That's in support of the Army Corps-led and all of the Army Corps-led work that we're doing on behalf of them or in support will be work in kind, credible, or submitted for consideration.
Okay. As our costs going forward could be covered by the fee, right? by the industry fee.
These costs go into the package cost that is part of the user fee program for eventual reimbursement of principal and interest.
Okay, that'll do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. Finance, we don't have any finance today from Ms. McKinley?
No, we do.
Oh, we do?
Merchant. I thought we were doing financial update.
Oh, we're doing commercial. Sorry, go ahead. I jumped ahead.
I'm sorry.
Scratched him off my order. Sorry, John.
Wow. I'm moving cap. Wow. Nope, not wrong at all.
Sorry, I've
it happens.
Sorry, John.
Well, the cool stuff's kind of a given, so it's all good.
Yeah, there you
go. First of all, I just want to say good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Thanks for the opportunity to share a little bit about the port's commercial efforts the last couple of months. It's been a busy summer, no doubt, and we've been ensuring that we're in alignment with all of the Houston Ship Channel stakeholders, and naturally that includes our carrier customers as well, who use our public container terminals. We've been on the road the last couple of months. Charlie, Ryan, and myself were out visiting the presidents of the ocean carriers that call our facilities located along the eastern seaboard. We did that over the summer, and then we followed it up just a couple of weeks ago with Charlie and I visiting the chairman, the owners of the carriers located out in Asia. We were out in Singapore, we were in Taipei, we were in Shanghai. These customers, these carrier customers are the ones that kind of keep these great machines moving down at our container facilities. During those meetings, we discussed a couple of different things, a number of different important strategic items, including the Houston Ship Channel, the terminals and facilities, the road and highway infrastructure, and our capacity for growth, and the initiatives necessary to sustain continued job growth and economic development through increased volume and support of the regional waterborne container trade. We also covered measures to ensure safe and productive working environment at our facilities, federal initiatives such as improving navigation and fog. We discussed safety and efficiency on the dock, at our yards, and at our gates. We discussed the importance of expanding capacity and utilization of our road and highway infrastructure coming in and out of our public facilities, which Charlie had talked about just earlier this morning. And of course, we also discussed many of the things that involve our community-led initiatives, environmental initiatives that are so critical to what we do here as a port authority. This summer, we also hosted the Texas Economic Development Corporation in our offices, had a strategic meeting to align on maritime economic development priorities. We also hosted our biannual Foreign Trade Zone 84 Customs and Border Protection Roundtable, which brings in all the operators and users of the FTZ and gives them a platform for direct dialogue with CBP officers, which really reinforces compliance practices and the sharing of critical regulatory updates. give you a little tidbit on the industrial real estate market and what's happening in that space. It's important in terms of the cargo base and ensuring that our business continues growing and flowing. Just reported through the end of Q2 2025, we've seen a lot of strong activity. Development activity is robust with 15 million square feet under construction. The industrial market remains strong with 4.5 million square feet of absorption year to date and vacancy holding steady as demand keeps pace with new supply. We've seen a couple of major things that are under construction today, including Constellation Beverage and Americold out of Cedarport, which really lends to additional cargo opportunities for us here. With that, if you don't have any questions, I'd like to move into the six items that we're presenting for your consideration today under commercial. We have six items. They're all real estate related. Items one and two are renewals of existing leases. Item three is a new office lease at the Barber's Cut Container Terminal for one of our stevedore partners. And I'd like to jump ahead to item five and six and return back to four, which I wanted to talk about a little bit. But item five is essentially a new lease, which consolidates 13 separate leases here in the Turning Basin for our stevedore, Cooper Ports America, a major long-term stevedore partner at the port. And item six is an amended lease to a lease with CNC at a 21.5-acre parcel at Bayport to provide for a PHA to reimburse CNC for some work that had been performed. Returning back to item number four, this is regarding a tenant relationship dating back 30 years. And this request is essentially a request to approve the first of four five-year extension options exercised by the port's tenant, Arden Mills. This lease has been in effect since 1995, and it's one of four flower silos in the Houston region, right here located in Galena Park on port property. This particular lease is interesting because it underscores the port's longstanding commitment to the communities in the region in which we serve. It involves the construction of silos that for 30 years have stored and shipped flour to local bakeries for baked goods, including the tortillas we all find at our local HEB. So it's a really critical for the area. It's serving more than a million pounds a year, more than 5,000 direct and indirect jobs. And it just
tortillas of that.
That's a whole lot of tortillas. And a lot of calories too, I'm sure. But I just want to share an interesting fun fact, but that's just a lease that really highlights the economic impact that the port has and the activities we do. And with that, I'm seeking approval of commercial division items H1 through H6.
So moved. So, John.
Yes, sir.
I was driving through Cedar Point the other day, and I noticed that Costco has a big, big warehouse. Is that the supplier, or is that a steamship line operation? You know?
Cost with a T or Costco?
Costco.
Costco does have through one of their subsidiaries, they do have a small distribution center up north near I-10. That may be the one that you're referring to. Down in Cedarport, I'm not familiar of a Costco yard, but there's another company, which this may be the one that has the exact same acronym, COSCO, which makes baby strollers and baby equipment. That might be that same Costco.
Okay, thank you. I'll find it out.
So, I'd be happy to look into it.
Hey, I'm all here to say hi. Okay, now, Mr. Finley, no, I think you
stand up. Well, well, my audience is tortillas now. Yeah. Everybody's hungry.
For sure.
I think good morning. Good to see all of you. Yeah. Thank you for your time this morning. We have no agenda items today, but I'll briefly provide a few points on the financial position of the port. As perhaps you noted in the briefing materials, Port has generated just over $465 million in operating revenues through August, given sound container and bulk cargoes, as Charlie mentioned. This is ahead of the plan by about 5% or $20 million, so tracking very closely to our budgets this year. This has been in part to container units coming in ahead of plan by around 3%, primarily driven by import loads, strong still through August. I will defer to Mike Schaffner to in operations to provide more color around that. So with that revenue delivery and maintain our spending levels, the port is ahead of this year's plan for operating cash generation as well by about 15%. So as you know, this net cash is 100% reinvested in the business to enable continued capacity growth and efficiency for our port customers. A bit of inside baseball that Rick will appreciate. The port this quarter surpassed $3 billion in net position, which is effectively shareholder equity. In our case, that's taxpayer equity in the business. So that upward trend just illustrates the overall health of the organization and obviously stability. Finally, the liquidity position remains strong as we look forward through the five-year plan, the funding of operating and capital needs, which will support continued growth and job creation and regional prosperity. Well, that's all I had. Any questions for that today?
Good. Thank you, Tim.
Rich? Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. It's good to see you all again. Today we have seven items with a request of about $4 million, so I'll give a couple of brief updates first on infrastructure. A lot of things going on. Progress marches on as we provide infrastructure ahead of demand and so forth. Here at the Turning Basin, we did break ground on a new PCC, the Port Coordination Center. That's going to be the home of the Port Houston Fire or Police Department, as well as about two dozen staff who are going to remain here for operational reasons after the rest of the staff move to East River. Wharf 16 repairs wrapped up. I think there's one water line to connect, and then that will be handed back over to operations, but the importance of that improvement was to provide stability in advance of the Project 11 deepening up here in the Turning Basin. Wharf 8 repairs are ongoing, and that's important because we want to have that ready in time for Fleet Week in November. At Bayport and Barber's Cut, we are placing the roller compacted concrete pavement at yard CY8, which is 42 acres at the Bayport East End. We are winding up phase one of yards 6 and 7 at Barber's Cut and moving on to phase two. Yards 6 and 7 have four total phases. They follow improvements we made to yard 5, and they are part of the $78 million grant that we won a few years ago as part of a $218 million rehabilitation of Barber's Cut, which will advance wharves 4, 5, and 6 and 87 total acres. We are completing terminal gate exit gates expansion at Bayport, which dovetails with item one of the agenda today, a matching terminal entry gate expansion of the OCR and RPM lanes and canopy exits. Elsewhere, we completed clearing and grading of Memorial Track, including an interaction with a local alligator who crawled up from the Harris County Flood Control. That's his permanent home. And then we are also continuing to clear and grub the 358-acre property known as Greens Bayou Terminal. We've got about 200 acres done so far. We also spread the word with keynotes at the Association of Supply Chain Management and the American Society of Civil Engineers, including supporting Charlie's very important message about the five pillars of freight efficiency. So that word is getting out in not only the TAG, but other different venues as well. And in addition to the new faces that Charlie announced, there is a one-pager in your package with eight new faces in infrastructure, including Jawan, but others. And that really speaks to the rich talent and experiences the port is bringing, as well as career progression. Two of the individuals One is a returning intern, so return on investment in our people programs, as well as one is coming into infrastructure after three different divisions in here. So that speaks well to career development, succession planning, and so forth. And then small world, our speakers from the Girl Scouts of San Jacinto, Juan Cole is on the board of that organization, so it's a small world how we all connect and serve community in different ways. With that, I'll highlight item one and three. One is an award to expand the Twick Gates lanes at Bayport just from 5 to 10 lanes, and that's required to meet the growth and get truck traffic moving efficiently. Efficiently, that's pillar four of the five pillars model that Charlie promotes. That project has a 45% SBE component, which exceeded the 20% goal. And then item three is an award for professional services to act as owner's rep to see, we see our tenant making over $70 million worth of improvements at the grain elevator at Woodhouse. When you're investing that much money, we want to make sure it's done right. So we are asking for a contract for basically owner's rep, reviewing drawings, inspection services, and the like, so that our assets are improved with overall life cycle integrity and care. So with that, I'll ask for approval of items 1 through 7.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
I can't resist. You know, I've heard the Girl Scouts twice now, so I just, Jawan, you'll be glad to know, my granddaughter's in the Girl Scouts, and my daughter is a Girl Scout troop leader, and so like the good grandfather I am, I went out and bought a big old tent, and so they do their campouts in my backyard. So I'm totally invested in the Girl Scouts. I applaud what you're doing. It really changes lives. It's a great thing. So great. You're in the club. You're in the Girl Scout club.
Yeah.
And granddaughters.
But we're all in
good time. I'm going broke.
I'm glad to hear that there's $70 million at Woodhouse that support the production of tortillas at the fire mill next door.
Like a good
thank you very much for your
support. Thank you. Next is Olive Burns from the Maintenance. Olive, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Just some highlights from the Maintenance Division before we move on to our agenda item this morning. Some year-to-date figures: our combined operating hours for ship-to-shore cranes up to 4%. That equates to 63,000 hours compared to the same period last year. Over 13,000 crane-related maintenance calls, so we thank our operators for all of that. And that includes RTGs and ship-to-shore cranes across Barbara's Cut and Bayport. Total downtime for both terminals here today, 0.77%. That's a 6% decrease from the same period last year. So this is kudos to our maintenance team in keeping our cranes operational and productive despite such a huge volume of maintenance calls and activity. We recently collaborated with the PCM in strategic sourcing to perform critical maintenance to our 138,000 volt substation at Bayport, just to keep the terminal alive and running. We successfully relocated Port Commission number one. I don't know if folks here remember what Port Commission number one is. It's a survey patrol boat that is further down the dock. It's probably our first survey and patrol boat. I do not know when she was built, but I found a sales advertisement made in 1942, putting her for sale. So she's been around a while. And we have relocated her to the Sam Houston Pavilion to make room for the upcoming Fleet Week. So she's still there. We have also recently installed and successfully tested the new emergency generator for the Bayport Administration Building. It feeds lights and data center, critical air conditioning systems, and things like that.
Okay.
If no questions, we can move on to our agenda items. There are four items before you this morning. Two of them are renewal of ongoing maintenance accounts. We do these every 2-3 years. The first one is for purchase of wire ropes, very much needed for all the cranes, RTGs and ship to shore cranes, including some other container handling equipment as well. So a new 3-year contract. Item number two is to purchase of four head blocks. Head blocks is part of the hoist mechanism in this particular case, ship to shore cranes. It's basically a steel frame that connects to the spreader bar. We are retiring some of the old design of head blocks and moving on to a better one. And this gets us four more units to upgrade our cranes, basically. Item number K3 is to purchase a spare operator's cab for an RTG. We have quite a few RTGs at Barber's Cut in the port, and about 147 of them. And it's good to have a spare cab so we can recycle and do corrosion protection and fix up, do some repairs. And then this way we minimize crane downtime if we have a spare cab to put it in place and keep the process going. And item number four is to purchase twist locks and spreader related parts. Again, another maintenance contract that we come to you every 3 years to renew it. Okay. And this is a sole source, Calmar USA, for these twist locks, which are the pins that actually vertically mounted that go into and secure the containers in the container handling operation. So these are the items that I bring before you this morning. If there are no questions, I'd like to present all of them at your consideration. K1 through K4.
So moved. Questions or comments? All favor say aye. Okay, up next, we have Mike. Well, Mike, thank you.
Morning, Chairman. Morning, Commissioners. Morning, all. Mike Schaffner, Director of Container Operations. Four items on the agenda today for your consideration, but a quick brief update around some operational steps. So we've heard the consistent message about volumes being up. I won't say the stats again, but I'll remind everybody that's up on top of a record year. So it's not up on top of a bad year. We will, if we have not already today, perhaps surpass the 3 million TEU mark year to date. What's more impressive and what underlies that is the army of people required to come in daily and execute on their task that day, show up the next day and execute again. And for that, we're grateful. I'd like to mention the importance of the presentation that Charlie gave at the Transportation Advocacy Group. We've got a good plan as a port to double our throughput volume at a container terminal from what it stands at today. That's going to present a challenge to our inland roads and our infrastructure. We've got a strategy to address that challenge. It's going to better utilize the current hours offered through improved efficiency. We'll implement extended off-peak hours. So we'll expand our gate hours. And even more so, we'll ensure that those hours are utilized. And three, we'll continue to engage with TxDOT and communities to accelerate key roadway projects and freight corridors to add capacity to the freight network as soon as possible. That important objective will ensure that the challenges of the inland roadways don't become a limit to our growth potential. And related to that, I'd like to highlight three agenda items that serve that goal. L1 is to award a services agreement to implement a new web portal. This will enhance tracking and visibility of cargo events in our facilities and therefore support cargo fluidity. It'll also optimize truck appointment management, which speaks to being able to allocate trucks and fully utilize our hours that were open. And it will align overall our technical capabilities with Port Houston's traffic strategy. L3 is an amendment for maintenance and support for our gate operating system. Our gate operating system is provided by a company called SmartTex. The maintenance and support agreement helps support 81 truck processing lanes and 26 portal lanes and growing. These are required to be up and operational each and every day. When one goes down, we notice. So it's a critical component. Happy to answer your questions. Otherwise, I'll request your approval for L1 through L4.
Motion. Second. All right. Any questions or comments? Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. That presentation you gave, Curly, at TAG was really informative. It helped me to understand all the interconnectivity of transportation issues. Would you mind circulating that to the
it's
board?
It's on Kelly's desk to do so.
Oh.
We'll be doing it very shortly.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating about all those issues. So.
I was kind of hoping you would say that you recently meeting with TxDOT to.
Yeah. Found a $2 billion
story. Yeah.
Mayor and commissioners, as Charlie mentioned and remarked earlier, we've had a busy summer recruiting employees. We've onboarded more than 24 employees, including our COO and our incoming chief legal officer, along with other critical roles as you've heard. Starting today, we'll begin our Hispanic Heritage celebrations, kicking off at Barber's Cut. Over the next couple of weeks, programming will take place across all of our terminals, bringing cultural recognition and employee engagement opportunities for our team. We'll hear later from my colleague, Charles Thompson. He'll give an update on NextGen ERP. I just wanted to say that our change management team is finalizing training and communication rollout readiness to go live at the top of the year. There's a lot of great things that's happening. And so we've got a great deal of excitement as we look forward to our next gen ERP going live. So without further to do, today I'm bringing forth two items for your consideration. We're requesting authorization to renew our group insurance benefits for Aetna and Minnesota Life for calendar year 2026. This renewal maintains our stable coverage for employees and retirees. Additionally, as discussed and approved at the July Pension and Benefits Committee meeting, this also includes enhancement to our retiree life insurance benefits, increasing the benefit from $15,000 to $25,000. The second item that I'd like to present to you is to share that during our NextGen implementation, during the testing phase, we lost a critical person on our team, the lead. NextGen is divided between finance, HCM, but we lost our HCM lead, which was difficult, and so we've had to triage. Fortunately, we just onboarded our new HR director, but to maintain momentum, we need actual external support, and so I'm asking for the approval of Task Order 8 for Julian Consultants for continuity and leadership support in our HCM management work stream to make sure that we can support progression of our NextGen go-live. This request is to provide support October 2025 through July 2026. It will also include, and so the onboarding of the new HRIS person that will be working in the NextGen Workday system. And so if there are no questions, I'm requesting your approval to advance both our issues.
What's the increase in the insurance cost year to year?
The increase in the insurance cost year to year, so I have to get back to you on that.
That will be covered during our pension benefits meeting.
No, Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Is there a motion? Go ahead.
On item two with the consultant, I'm struck by $500, now $300. Is there a better way to do this than having to come back? I mean, should we? Seems like A, a lot of money, but B, coming back four times to renew and such, is there a better way to do this? That should we do some kind of a set fee type arrangement if we're going to re-bring these guys back over and over and over again instead of amending the same contract? Is there some better way to do this?
Well, I think this one would.
Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. This is the fourth time.
To some degree, and obviously probably can comment, I think some of this was all unexpected, unplanned. I mean, we've had a lot of challenges people there in that. So, I mean, I think as a general rule, it's the same, right? When you have a plan, strategy, place that was addressing opportunistic or things that have come up.
So are they on a set fee, or is it like we're in trouble?
No, it's not.
How much would it cost for y'all to come in and help? Because that's not a good, as you know, in contract negotiating, that's not a good place to be.
No, it's a time of the ship. So we're charged for the time that they're spending on the project.
This one, I mean, that colleagues
are
really unfortunate.
Oops. And we were fortunate that we had a consultant that could help us mobilize and triage through this. If we wouldn't have had if we didn't have the consultant to support us and they didn't know us from the year of experience that they had, it would have been very difficult for us to keep our progression on the HPM portion of the Next Gen project.
No, when we started this program, we characterized it as the most strategic thing most of us would do in our career and the highest risk. The benefits we get out of the next gen ERP are very, very significant. They provide better data, drive better decisions for the organization. It's crucial, and we are all in. I will say in that, on the risk management side, as we've learned and gone through, the cost of failure is so dramatic that we've had to provide additional insurance in a few areas. But your point is very, very well taken.
Yeah, I can tell you that. I'm next gen. I mean, I'm fine with this.
In hindsight, I would have done something differently. I don't know. I can't yet fault the fact we didn't have the hindsight of some of the things we've learned in the process because of the team, the experience of the team. Mm-hmm. So very, very good point. We'll take it to heart and be happy to report more detail about it. But this is a small part of an enormous investment we're making.
Charles is good at spending the
all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, yeah, we don't have any on really to remove the operations item or strategy.
Hello. Good morning. Good to see everyone today. Wrapping up this agenda for today, Charles always gets the end, so we're almost there. But, strategy team is busy still establishing our team. Charlie mentioned earlier we onboarded Callie Barnes recently. It's been a great addition to our team and the advocacy she will be doing for the region and the roadway connectivity. So a couple of updates to the team, though. We have initiated our leadership level review of our 2026 strategic targets. So those have been going well. We're aligning those with the budget along with Tim and his team, and we plan to come to you in November along with the finance team to present those strategic targets and with the budget workshop. Last week, we also submitted our application for the PIDP grant. This is the Port Infrastructure Development Program. It's a large funding opportunity that we apply for our critical infrastructure development projects. Currently, the Container Yard 8 project out of Bayport is partially funded through a previous PIDP grant award. So this application that we submitted last week is for the Container Yard 9 project out of Bayport. So we're hopeful to hear back from them in December. Our sustainability manager, Amy Morgan, has been leading efforts around the EPA's Clean Ports program. We've talked a lot about that throughout today's agenda. I get the privilege to talk about several of those items today. This is a grant awarded to Port Houston through the EPA that results in a variety of studies and recommendations for our future. Today's strategy agenda actually includes five different vendors chosen to deliver key initiatives ranging from a website for maritime education to a climate action plan. So each item providing its own benefit to either Port Houston directly, the region, or our industries in the area. More to come on those. These are just five, many more to come in the upcoming months. So today I present to you six items, 01 through 05 support work streams with that Clean Ports program to deliver outputs such as truck route and analytics, greenhouse gas inventory, a climate action plan, and a maritime education website. Item 06 amends a master planning contract to further support the capacity planning for our terminals and our regional connectivity into the region. Happy to answer any questions or request your approval for items 01 through 06.
Motion.
So moved. Second.
Okay, any questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Last but not least, man of the hour.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Last month, we had a written update for NextGen, and I talked about the Herculean task that the team in that building over here called the EGRP Command Center is going through. We completed end-to-end testing at 100%. That's over 10,000 individual steps amongst the collective team. When I sat with the Workday CEO and told him about our governance structure and how this board and our executive leadership is leadership team's focus. I sat with them last Monday and Tuesday in San Francisco at their event. They were amazed, but they also shared with me that a new public sector Workday customer goes live every week over the last 18 months. We're going to be fine. There's going to be some anxiety. Folks are going to get nervous about the world changing. I promise you that if I panic, I tell you, I'm still not panicking. We're in a great situation, and Charlie's right. His video that he did for 17 seconds was shared in a small community. They wish they had their CEO speaking so strongly about the programs they're trying to do. Folks are fighting for the support that everybody in this room has given us, and we thank you for it. But as we manage through these anxieties, get ready. The folks will get nervous. We're 60 days from go live. That being said, yesterday, which is Monday, right? The first Monday this week? It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. That's the new week. They didn't. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. That's the new ERP week until January 5th, right, Tim? Yeah. I say that because we just started parallel payroll testing, which the chairman knows. That's when you make sure your payroll system pays people accurately and to the penny, roughly or so. But I'm asking if everybody would give me 50 cents, just in case we're a little over, a little under, make sure everybody gets paid correctly as it goes forward. That's a bad joke. It's 7 weeks long. We're going to do it twice. Next, we'll be fine. We have four items. But I'd be happy to take any questions about my energy and passion for this is my fifth ERP. Folks were amazed that I was still standing upright after 25. Roger and Tom asked me to be 1-0 at the port. I promised Charlie I'd do the same thing. I promised Jessica the same thing. I won't sleep till we're done. That I can guarantee. A lot of folks aren't going to like when we get there, though. Because I push a little hard sometimes, and I apologize now. It's the last time. So, are there any questions about NextGen ERP before I address the four items? The first item on the agenda, Mike said we're going to expand our gate hours. It's called a managed network operations center. We want to put red, yellow, green on the glass and monitor things. It was a professional services RFP that was divisible. Port Houston, the part two of it we decided not to award because it may not be cost effective. We're going to look at opportunities potentially to insource those resources either to cover vessel operations, and I'm partnering with Ryan as we work through that. Item number two is for camera refresh. When I started, we had 290 cameras. Now we have 801, almost 10 years later. It was a formal solicitation for commodities and professional services via an RFP. As I mentioned, 801, we're going to replace 243. The award to this supplier is an SBE supplier. Item number three is for the firewall maintenance and operations, as well as the firewall required for the port administration building. This will be awarded to an MBE supplier. And then monitors for the port administration building is the fourth item. I need to do an edit. I missed something in my haste, and I have it's going to replace the the awardee for the PO from Kreiner Daniels to HD Inc. And I talked to Eric late last night and said I needed to ask the commission if they would accept that revision at the table. And if not, I'd have to bring it back in October.
Same company?
Pardon? The Kreiner Daniels is an SMWB. They'll be the subcontractor to HP, but because of the contract with Texas EIR, it goes to HP, and they give that subcontract. So Kreiner Daniels will receive the business. If we went directly to Kreiner, it costs another $60,000. So it's not only in the benefit of both parties, it helps our business equity goal, as well as a better contract pricing for the port.
Do we need to do a motion to second on just the amendment?
Yeah, we need a motion to second. Exactly right.
I move we approve the amendment to change to HP.
Second.
Okay, second.
There was a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, amendment's done.
Okay. And again, I apologize for the clerical errors. It's my first one in 10 years.
Perfect. First one in 10 years?
Not one in 60 days for sure.
All right, is there a motion to approve the other three items?
Some of them. Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Good luck.
Oh, we'll see you next month.
Yes, sir.
We did also have a handout of names.
Oh, sorry.
And for next gen ERP, you'll see the length, how many people are involved in our organization.
It's in your handout. By what group they're on and what their responsibilities are.
So,
right here.
Yep. This gives you an idea of the scope.
Yep. It's good. The more the merrier. Okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll take a quick break and then go into executive session. All right.
Closed meeting is permitted by Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code with consultation with attorneys, including consultation regarding the Port Authority travel meals and business entertainment authorization and expense reimbursement policy, 33 U.S.C. 5B and 2336, in the matter of Port Houston et al., FMCSI number 8501, and Marine Terminal Service Agreements and proposed amendments to the agreements for legal services, Aiken Gump, Mod. Almost Eventing, BB&K, Ewell Brown, and Littler Mendelson deliberate regarding real estate, including deliberations regarding disposition of Galveston and Davis Community property, economic development negotiations or incentives, employment evaluation of public office employees, including deliberations regarding employment of the former executive director of the Port Authority, employment agreement with the chief executive officer, and security-related matters. The Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Yeah, so up or we're back in regular session of the Court Commission.
Yeah, we can reconvene to finish up.
Perfect. Okay, good. All right, so let's go. The main items are agenda. We have item F1. The motion for item F1.
Oh. I move to authorize.
No, F1 is delegate chief executive authority on your agenda. It's on the agenda. Can I have a motion for S1, please?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or comments or discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay. All right. And now go ahead and make your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to authorize the Port Authority to enter into an agreement for legal services with Aiken Gump on the terms discussed in executive session and authorize the chief legal officer to do all other things reasonable or necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I've got a motion.
Okay.
I move to authorize the Port Authority to amend the agreements for legal services with the following firms, AZA, Best and Kreiger, Ewell Brown and Littler Mendelson PC, on the terms discussed in executive session, and authorize the chief legal officer to do all other things reasonable or necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
Any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Anything else?
We decided to defer as discussed.
Okay. And so we then
you a PDF of the.
Thank you. Administration.
Why don't I do that?
Perfect. Yeah. Let's do that. Okay, so any closing comments or discussions? Okay, great. So next meeting is on October 27th, 2025, a Monday. The Commission meeting is adjourned.
All right, we're going to roll straight right into our community release. But I have to hop on a flight, so I'm going to give three for Mark and then head out.